Hello and welcome to the Peaceful Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Chanel Nielsen, and today we have a great episode planned for you with Pete Mengtilo. We are going to be talking today about how to increase your reach, your traffic, your leads, all of those things that you all have asked for and want to know more about. So, Pete, welcome. We are glad to have you with us again today.
Great to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So one of the things that business owners often focus on is increasing their traffic so they can get more leads. So let's jump right in and talk about what needs to happen or be in place before business owners focus on generating more leads.
Sure. I think before you begin to think about why you want leads in your business or the volume of leads that you need or the type of traffic you're generating, I think a mistake that a lot of people make is they don't answer the question, why is it that I want these leads, right? And this seems like a very simple thing to say. It's like, why do I want these leads? Well, of course I want leads. I want more clients. I want a big email list. I want a big audience. I want my business to grow, right? But ultimately, I think that's, in a lot of ways, just saying that is not, it's not enough. And I think that you need to be specific and intentional about your lead generation or your traffic strategy. And you need to be specific so that it is closely tied to what you're doing on the back end of your business and really the type of person who you want to bring in. So I could give you an example if you'd like.
Perfect. Yes.
And if I tied it into our One Book Millions method funnel that some people who are listening to this may be familiar with. So at Peaceful Profits, we have the One Book Millions method. It shows you how to use a book to grow your business, to bring people into your business, to simplify your marketing, to get more clients for your services. And we sell that book, and there are multiple ways that we can get people to purchase that book. So the way we go about things here is we like to acquire a purchaser, a person who's paid money to say, to raise their hand and say, hey, I have a problem that I need solved. I would like your help and I'm willing to pay for it. That's the strategy that we generally use. And we use that book to do it. There are multiple ways to get leads, right? But we are essentially adding a lead to our business every time we sell that book. Now, the reason we want leads is because we would like to have clients in our business for our coaching programs, for services that we might offer. We'd like to have people who are interested in buying information products or other courses or forms of help that we have. We've answered that question, but even then, that's not deep enough in terms of how you have to approach this. So we have this marketing funnel, the One Book Millions method, and there are multiple ways we can position it in order to sell it and bring leads into the business. Doesn't matter what type of traffic you're using. You're using organic traffic to sell it. You could be using paid ads to sell it. So if we say this in order to sell that book, the One Book Millions method, don't create an online course, write a book, right? If we use that message in order to get attention, to generate leads, don't create an online course, write a book like this, get this book and write a book like this. If we say that, that's going to bring a very specific type of lead into our business. If we say something like, instead of that, if we say, hey, coaches and agency owners, your marketing is too complicated. Replace that marketing that you're doing and all those things that you're doing with a book. Those two things, depending on what we say, are going to bring in a different type of person. If we say, don't create an online course, write a book, that's going to bring in the type of person who might be a little bit newer, right? They might be a little bit earlier in their journey as an entrepreneur or a course creator or a person who sells things online. But if we say, your marketing is too complicated, replace it with a book, that brings in someone who is more established and who understands that there are challenges with their marketing efforts. And ultimately, the type of lead we bring in with that type of strategy, it's going to dictate who comes into the, you know, who comes to the business and then what happens later on. So that strategy is determining who comes into the business. So ultimately, my answer to this question in a more succinct way is, if you want to get leads, you have to be very specific and intentional about who you want to get, what your messaging is going to attract in terms of who you get, and then understanding that who you want is going to be shaped by what you would like those leads to do later, right? So who can your business actually serve, right? So in our case with the One Book Millions method, if we say, don't create an online course, write a book, think about if that's a newer type of person who comes in after they see that ad or they see that message to buy that book, to buy that thing that we're using to generate leads for our business, it might take a long time for that person to become a client of ours just because of what we offer and what our business is, right? Because they are earlier along in their path. They're just thinking about creating an online course, for example, right? And it might take them quite a long time to get to the point where they're a good fit for our services, right? It doesn't mean we can't help them eventually, right? At some point, it doesn't mean that we don't want those types of people in our business. But if you're a business owner, you have to think about these types of things when it comes to generating leads. How does your message determine the type of person who comes in? I feel like a lot of people go out there and they say, I want leads because I want more clients, right? I want leads because I want a big email list. I want to grow a big audience. But what you say determines sort of how easy or how difficult it is to make those things happen. So I think you have to start backwards in a lot of sense, in a lot of ways. You have to think, what can I offer people or what can I do for people? And how does that shape my approach to getting leads or to generating traffic, right? So it's almost reverse. You can't put the cart before the horse, essentially.
Yeah. Now that example to me is so fascinating because it's so nuanced. It is, you know, I think exactly. Yeah, exactly what you said. People just think, well, I just want more people. I just need more people so I can sell more of my thing. And this idea of really crafting who comes in to really get so deep on that why. And that example that you gave, I mean, had you not explained it to me, I would probably not have put together how different those messages really were in attracting those, you know, different subsets of people. And so I think that's amazing to see that in action. So thanks for walking us through that.
Yeah, it's really a question of, you know, who do you want, right? In that example, it's, do you want new people? Do you want established marketers or do you want both, right?
Right.
And it all comes back to what you're offering to your leads later and the type of business that you want to have, the type of things that you'd like to sell. And, you know, that's ultimately, I think, the number one question that we have to ask ourselves. And this can go even to different levels, right? So there are lots of marketers from, you know, days gone by and people still writing books that say things like, you know, if we switch the equation and we say, all right, one of the things that I've often heard and that's generally true is that if you offer people, for instance, a discount, right, you're going to get discount buyers, right? So think about like the dollar store, right? Or any of those, you know, everything for a dollar. I don't know if those exist anymore because of inflation, right?
Yeah. They're now the $1.25 store where
right,
I live.
The $1.25 store or the big discount store. What do they do? They plaster everything as $1.25 on the face of the building or the discount stores where they put up sale signs in the windows where it says 90% off everything. And they're always running a sale, right? So a lot of people are like, oh, I can get a lot of leads if I just make this really, really compelling by making it a huge value. What happens when you do that? Do you just attract discount buyers, people who like a discount, right?
Right.
So there are other considerations here too. You have to really think about what does your messaging attract and what type of person do I want in my business? It's not bad to have people in your business that like a discount, right? It's not a bad thing. Right. But for some types of businesses, that might be a bad thing. Right. So you can't have a $1.25 store and be building a relationship with, you know, customers who want that deal and then expect to sell them something that is $125 later on for one item. Right. You're not going to get luxury shoppers at a discount store, you know. So it's really a matter of understanding what is the nature of what I'm doing and how does that tie into the messaging that I'm using to generate leads and to attract people to my business?
Yeah. So once you, and obviously it's a process and, you know, learning, figuring out who these people are. And like you said, getting very clear on your why, but once you've got that kind of solidified to a certain extent and you know who you want to bring in, then is it time to just turn up the heat and focus on more traffic like people think they're supposed to? When does it get to that point where like, oh, I just need more people? What does that look like?
Well, I think that what you need to understand, I would say, before you go out and you say, all right, well, now it's time to get more people, right? I think that what you need to understand it are the numbers in your business, really, because there is the most expensive thing you're ever going to do in your business. And this is for any business out there. It doesn't matter if you're selling, you're selling golf carts or you're selling a coaching program. The most expensive thing you're going to do is to acquire a lead and bring a lead into your business or acquire a buyer. And you need to know what that cost can be in order to understand if it's going to be a profitable thing to do. So it really is for every business. And in some people will say, no, that's not the case because I'll run organic traffic. I'm not going to run paid ads. I'm going to do just organic traffic. You have to think about your time that you're putting into organic traffic or the team that you have to build in order to make that strategy work, right? So even if you're not paying for ads and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this all organic, I'm going to have a blog, I'm going to, you know, post on social media, I'm going to make TikTok videos, whatever, you know, before you turn up the heat and really devote a lot of resources to that, right? Which time, you know, time is a resource that you have, or money spending on ads, you have to understand that it's probably the most expensive thing you're going to ever do in your business is go out and acquire people, right? Bring them in as a lead or bring them in as a buyer. And you have to know your numbers. You have to know what you can afford to pay based on how much you can get in a return later, likely in terms of value from that lead you're bringing in. So we like to express this in terms of, you know, cost per lead, or in our case, we don't necessarily like to use free lead magnets in order to bring people into our business at Peaceful Profits. And we don't recommend that our clients do that. We like to use a book or a low ticket offer. We call it a product front end. Other people call it an acquisitions funnel. We like to get people to buy something because they've expressed purchase intent and they've said, okay, well, I'm gonna pay for a solution. Because sometimes it goes back to what I just talked about. If you attract somebody with a free thing, maybe you just get somebody into your business who wants more free stuff, right? So we're basically saying, all right, well, here's what we can afford to pay in terms of advertising or in terms of resources that we can expend in order to get somebody to get this thing to come into our business as a lead. And here's how much we expect to make over the lifetime of that lead. That's lifetime value. So it's basically cost per lead or cost per sale and lifetime value. And if you know those numbers, if you can calculate those numbers, if you can figure them out or estimate, right, or do a projection, all you have to do to scale your business is make sure that lifetime value is higher than cost per sale or cost per lead, like cost to get a lead into your business. If you know those two things, you're good to go. All you have to do is just continue to go. Once you understand those things, you're good to turn up the dial as much as you want, because you know how much you can pay and you know how much you're likely to get in a return on what you paid, either in your resources or in your ad spend. So it's really LTV or lifetime value and cost per lead or cost per sale in our case, because we're going for a buyer. You have to know those two numbers, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I love how you have just taken this thing that feels so complex, right? And simplified it into this very...
It's really just two things.
Yeah. Yes. Two things that there you could spend a lifetime learning about.
Well, it's really not that. I mean, at the end of the day, right? What is scaling a business? It's just a couple of steps. You create something that people want. So that is helpful to them. That's something that is needed in the marketplace that you're in. Create something people want. Go out and get people to buy that thing or get people interested in it. And then once those people buy that thing, sell them something else or sell them more of the same thing, right? And if you have those numbers, if you know what it costs to get somebody interested in that, and you know once they're interested in that thing, how much more they're likely to spend with you over time. It doesn't matter if you're selling blue jeans or golf carts or something physical, right? Like on a Shopify store, if you're selling jewelry, it doesn't matter. If you're doing that or if you're selling a coaching program, it's really just as simple as go out and get people, Once you have those people, sell them stuff, rinse and repeat, right? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you've taken this thing that feels very complex and very, you know, big for business owners and really sure. simplified it down and made it into this simple thing. Where do you see people going wrong with this formula? You know, where is the breakdown?
Well, I think there are obviously lots of things that can go wrong. But a major one is lots of people think that they don't want to spend money on ads because organic traffic is free. So they say, okay, well, what I can do is I can go out and I can get attention for what and there are a million ways to do organic traffic or free traffic, right? People say, all right, well, I'm a coach or I have an agency and I need clients, or I'm a copywriter. I have a service, you know, I'm a graphic designer. I'm a person who is a marketing consultant. I'm a fractional CMO, whatever the case may be. You say, all right, it's time to go out and grow my business. Maybe turn it into an agency, maybe get more coaching clients or build a big coaching program, sell more info products, whatever the case may be. And people go out and they say, well, I don't want to run ads because organic can work reasonably well. There are a million ways to do organic. You can post in a group. You can build a big network on LinkedIn. You can be active on LinkedIn. You can have a blog and you can play like the SEO game and you can try to get to the top of, you know, the keywords for all your stuff. That's becoming harder to do because of artificial intelligence and, you know, things like that. That's becoming more difficult to do. You can borrow other people's traffic. And people do this to us at Peaceful Profits. They go out and they create YouTube videos or they create blog posts where they like review the One Book Millions method. And we're actually paying for people to go search for that on Google. And then you've written like a keyword rich blog post that says, don't do the One Book Millions method. Do this instead, right? You can borrow other people's traffic. That's people teach that, you know, in programs. You can do YouTube videos. You can do TikTok videos. You say, all right, well, there are all these organic ways that I can generate traffic. I'll just create something valuable and I'll push it on all these different platforms. I'm not going to run paid ads because that costs money, right? And what people do is they fail to account for the value of their time, or they fail to account, you know, they're using up a resource somehow using organic traffic, right? And a lot of people do it themselves. Or they look at people like maybe it's like Gary Vee, right? You see Gary Vee's got all these things bringing organic traffic to his business. And he's got this very specific style of reels or TikTok but organic video, right? And I'm going to replicate that. You fail to realize that like he's got a whole content team doing that.
Right.
And number one, it's going to be very hard for you to compete unless you have the same at any sort of volume. Like if you need traffic volume, at any sort of volume, it's going to be very hard for you to compete with people who are like that, who are willing to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a month for a content team, you know, who already have the money and maybe you don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend. And so that's one factor of it. But the other factor is you fail to account for your time. So, you know, I would say that a major mistake people make is they say, okay, I can do this organically. And not only is organic, you know, time consuming, and potentially resource intensive, but it can become complicated. Let's say you're doing the blog game and you're dominating SERP reports, which are like the search engine, you know, keyword reports, whatever. I don't know too much about it, right? But you're at the top of your SEO game and you're like, when people search for, you know, I need a graphic designer, I come up at the top. Or when people search for, I would like a life coach to help me through this specific time in my life or this specific challenge, I come up at the top with my blog. Well, one update on Google's side could wipe out all your traffic, right? They could change how their search engine rankings work overnight. And it's happened to thousands and thousands, probably millions of businesses where they're out there dominating SEO and something comes along like AI, right? And now all of a sudden people can write keyword rich articles really super duper fast and just game blog rankings, right? And now your traffic's gone, right? So it's not just the amount of resources that you have to put into organic methods. It's also the potential unpredictability, inconsistency, and those sorts of things. It's really hard to determine what's going to work. And if you compare that to paid traffic, right? What we like to do at Peaceful Profits, we like to simplify everything down. So we try to convince people, obviously, don't make this mistake of just relying on organic. It's great. It can work, right? and lots of people use it. But number one, the inconsistency. Number two, you have to think about your time. You can never get your time back, right? That's probably the most valuable resource you have.
Yeah.
But number three, paid traffic can really be made to be quite simple. So think about this. Think about all that stuff I just talked about. Think about how it could be simplified if I just said, okay, create something that is $5, $10, $25, whatever. Maybe it's a book, like the One Book Millions Method. Maybe it's a product that your dream client business would like to have. Run ads to that and just plan and know that when people buy that thing for $25 and you give them the option of adding some more stuff during the checkout, right? So they buy that thing, there's a checkout page and you put a couple things there with little check boxes that allow them to add stuff to an order. Just like when you buy stuff in an online store, when you're shopping for clothes or you're shopping for, you know, whatever you shop for on the internet, right? You're on Amazon and you're buying stuff. Amazon says, would you like this too? Right? Do that. Figure out how much people are likely to spend with you when you do that. And then keep your cost for your ads to get somebody to buy lower than that number that you earn when they buy your thing and they add a couple things on. You just keep that number that it costs to get somebody to buy lower than the value. We call it average order value when somebody orders from you. And now you're adding somebody to your business for free, right? And you don't have to worry about how much it costs to compete in a competitive ad market because your ads are paying for themselves, right? And does that always happen? You know, not always, right? Like you can't always predictably get like $1 going into ads to $1 coming out immediately in that type of environment, but you can get really close. And sometimes that's, you know, that's better than spending your, you know, your every waking hour trying to, you know, trying to make organic work. And if you know your numbers, if you know your lifetime value, right, you can say, all right, this is worth it. This is working, right? So we like to simplify things down and just say, okay, run paid traffic to this very simple thing and you don't have to do all this other stuff, you know? So I would say a mistake, to answer your question, the mistake is people think that they can't run ads or they're afraid to spend money on ads because they think that organic traffic is free. Organic traffic is not free and it's not predictable. It's really hard to make it work, right? It's a lot easier, less time consuming, and potentially can be just as inexpensive to run paid traffic.
Yeah. I love that answer because I think it really speaks to what we see a lot of times in people who are just trying to get their business going. And that's really this question, who that comes from, right? I just need more reach. I need more traffic. I need more leads. And so I'm going to go dance on TikTok. I'm going to go spend all my time every day doing these things. And I love this idea of saying, hey, that is a resource. What is the simplest point from point A to point B to getting the right people in your business? So yeah,
I was going to just add to that. It's like, how do you want to spend your time too? So a while back, Mike, I think he had the team crunch the numbers on his business. So Mike Shreve, founder of Peaceful Profits, right? He writes books to bring people into his business with a book, and he tries to get the sales of the book and things that go with it to self-liquidate on his advertising costs, right? So $1 goes into ads, $1 comes out right away, and then people become clients. And after that, you get your LTV. So he crunched the numbers and he's like, well, for every book that I write to get clients into my business, it adds at minimum $5 million in revenue to my business. That's $5 million for every book that you write. Now, if you ask yourself, where is Mike's time better spent? Is it hustling trying to create content? That's really great because your content has to be good for organic to work. Like there's no way around it. There's so much competition. It's got to be amazing. Like you have to be head and shoulders above everybody else. Is his time best spent creating more stuff for organic, or is it best spent writing another book? And the answer is probably writing another book.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, that's kind of how I think about it. And I think it's how we're trying to think about it as a company.
Yeah, it speaks to your earlier point about knowing your numbers, though, because, you know, he is so data driven and knows, okay, $5 million, if I write a book, then it becomes a really clear answer, where a lot of business owners are not taking the time and figuring out those numbers and understanding what leads to what outcome.
Sure. And it can be hard to do when you're new, right? So it is overwhelming. And you say, all right, well, how am I supposed to compete with the types of people who have massive advertising budgets?
Right.
How can I do that? Right. And when you're able to self-liquidate your advertising costs or get darn close, you can compete with anybody, right? It doesn't matter. Right, you have an infinite advertising budget. When $1 spent on ads is $1 that comes out right away, your as long as you can maintain that, and as you spend more money, you know, your numbers might change a little bit, because as you spend more money, it becomes more expensive to get people, because you start to saturate the market with your advertising, more people see it, right? But in general, that doesn't happen for a while, right? You can compete with anybody generally, as long as you're keeping those numbers in check, right? It, you know, a lot of people think paying for traffic means I'm going to put something up for free and hopefully people download it, right? Or they attend a webinar, right? And then I'm going to have to do all this convincing to turn them into a buyer. You can put something on the front end of your business that people see that they can purchase that can help pay for the costs to scale your business, the costs to run ads and to get in front of more people. That's just the way, you know, that's kind of the way it works, right? And I think that a lot of people who are starting out, you know, they're fearful to compete in paid traffic because they know that people who run paid ads, they might be spending thousands and thousands of dollars a day, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on advertising. It's like, you can do that too if your ads pay for themselves.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. If $1 going in is $1 coming out, you don't need to have that big of an advertising budget saved up. You know,
yeah,
and that, how much time
that makes sense.
So,
anyway. Right. So you've talked about so many good things today. There's just been, I hope you all are listening and taking notes like I have been, because there's so many pieces in here that really speak to, you know, how to increase your traffic, not in just like traffic for traffic's sake, but actually increase the bottom line in your business in a way that is really smart and really targeted and really makes sense. So anything else that you would add to finish up here that you wish people could understand about this whole concept of increasing their reach?
Yeah. So I think just to conclude everything that we talked about today, I mean, when we think about reach, what I think about is the number of people seeing stuff, right? So how many people are seeing your stuff, right? I think that in a lot of ways, it's very, very easy to get blinded by the idea of, I want a ton of people to see my stuff, right? I'd really like millions of people out there to know who I am, right? There's a difference between people seeing your stuff and people spending time and attention and money with you, right? It's very, I say from a marketing perspective, it's probably not that hard to go out and create something that can get a lot of eyeballs on it. It's a little bit more difficult to say, okay, I don't just want the eyeballs on it. I don't just want the reach. I want intentional people to interact with my business and to come into my business to become a lead. And I want that person to spend their time and money with me over time. So if I was to say, like, and I guess it's not, I said easier to do one than the other, I would say it depends on your approach. But if we think about this like a YouTube channel, right? You can go out and you can create a YouTube channel that educates people and gets, you know, a million subscribers and maybe get some ad revenue from YouTube or whatever, you know? But are those millions of people that are consuming your content, are they, other than that ad revenue you get from YouTube? So we look at these like YouTube channels, for instance, right? Are you building a business that where you're able to take those people who are watching what you're doing and they're following you, and to nurture them to buy things from you, right? Like there's a difference between reach and intentionally building an audience of people who are buyers, customers, potential clients, people who you can help, people who you can serve. There's a difference between the two things.
Definitely.
Like I can go tomorrow, or anybody can go tomorrow and basically put up some shock content somewhere that gets a ton of eyeballs and a ton of reach organically. And you can just kind of, you know, I say shock content, but really any type of content, you can copy whoever you want. There's a difference between doing that and then intentionally doing that in a way that's going to contribute to LTV over time. So I would really go back to thinking about it, you know, in very simple terms, right? Do you want to expand your reach, or do you want to grow your business, right? And if the answer is I want to grow my business, what I would focus on is intentionally bring someone into your business by creating something that they want that's tied to how you can help them, right? Create, go out and write a book, go out and create, we call it a product front end, but go out and create a course that you can sell for $20 or $30, or a toolkit that people who you can help are likely to want. Package it up with some other stuff. Run ads to it. Sell the run the ads so that you can make sure that you're not spending more than people are paying you when they buy your stuff. So your cost to get somebody into your business is less than the average order value. And then rinse and repeat. Do it over and over again. The people you acquire, sell them something, right? Nurture them and sell them something else. Get them to come back to you. Take care of them. Send them some emails after they buy. Take care of them, maybe send them an email a couple times a week to remind them that you exist. And then all you have to do is just rinse and repeat. That's it. Like it's literally that simple. So I would say there's a difference between reaching everybody and reaching the people who you can really, really help and you know are going to help your business grow and you know need help from you, right? Number one. And then number two, I would be really specific and intentional about how you're doing it and making sure that you are really accounting for all the resources that you're putting into what you're doing, right? And getting your numbers right so that you can maximize the resources that you are putting into your business, be it time or advertising dollars. So,
yeah. So good. So good. There are so many things in there to think about, to put into action, and then to continue getting better and better at. So I love this. You've given me a lot to think about, and I'm sure our listeners too. So thank you, Pete, for being with us today.
Yeah, it's no problem. Thank you.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time here on the podcast. Bye.